What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word evangelism? Hello, and welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring biblical themes. This week, and actually for many weeks following this, our theme will be evangelism and witnessing. My name is Paul Dibdahl, and with me are my conversation partners, Dr. Alex Bryan, my pastor and senior pastor of the Walla Walla University Church, and then also Dr. Carl Cosart, professor of biblical studies at Walla Walla University, colleague of mine. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you, and thank you for joining me today.
Glad to be here.
What about that first question, evangelism? If you had a word association or some image that comes to your mind, what do you first think of when you hear that word?
Well, I get a variety of images that come to my mind, but I think perhaps the one that probably sticks the most is like medicine. Something you have to take sometimes, although maybe it's not the best thing you'd like to have, but it's a necessary thing sometimes.
Somehow good for you, even though it's not so delicious.
I think that's one of the common images that come to mind, because sometimes the way evangelism gets portrayed in the church, it sounds like something we have to do it because it's a requirement or something.
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not, we need to do it.
You're supposed to do it. If you are a good person, in most Christian churches, I think the expectation is that you're supposed to feel good about evangelism, or you're supposed to do it. And yet, Carl, you said it. I didn't get a sense that it was a particularly positive association.
I think the immediate reaction, is not positive, because sometimes, at least this is from my background, is being in a church, sometimes being a pastor in a congregation, sometimes the way evangelism takes place, it just makes me want to cringe sometimes, because oftentimes it is something that a visitor comes in oftentimes to give a series of messages. I'm not really sure I'm comfortable with the handbills that go out. Do I want my neighbor to know that I'm identified with that scantily dressed woman on the beast? So there's a whole assortment of background and baggage, I guess, that goes with the kind of medicine imagery that comes to my mind.
Okay. Alex, how about for you? Evangelism.
Well, I would agree with Carl. I think evangelism for many is one of the scariest words that happens in church life. The word potluck doesn't scare us. The word fellowship doesn't send us packing. But evangelism is scary, and I think probably for a couple of reasons. One, it conjures up something that only the experts do, and none of us wants to be thrown into something that we don't think we will be very good at. And second, somehow it has the feel of selling something door to door that nobody really wants to buy. And I think that rejection is also something that I know I don't like to sign up for. And so, the word evangelism is not probably at the top of the list of something that we would like to dive into as Christians.
And yet it's going to be the theme of our conversations for about 3 months, I think, is what it will be week by week. So, Carl, to put you on the spot just a little bit, you are professor of biblical studies, particularly focusing on the New Testament. This word evangelism comes from the Greek, Greek New Testament. Can you help us understand the word just a little bit better?
And this is kind of the interesting thing. Because you ask for the immediate reaction, it's like, oh, all these memories come back of bad situations, perhaps. But the word itself, when you look at the Bible, is a much more positive perspective. Evangelism comes from one of the key words for gospels, the word for gospel, to share this good news. The ta euangelion is the Greek word, which is made up of two separate words. The eu is good, and angelos is the message. It's the good message. And so historically speaking, this term itself, the origins of this term were very positive in the ancient world. When, a ship full of cargo was coming, into the harbor, people would say, euangelion, the good news.
Good news.
Here comes, food and provisions for us. So the word itself really has very positive connotations of good information that will benefit all people. Mm-hmm.
A sharing of positive information. And maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves for me to ask this question, but why – and in some ways we may be touched on it already with what you shared, but why is it that something that originally was so positive, at least for many people, doesn't carry those same purely positive kind of connotations? Maybe a tough question to answer, but any thoughts on that? How the transition?
Well, I think even in the first century, yes, it was good news, but many died for sharing that good news. And so the element of risk was there at the highest level, if you will. The lives were on the line. So I think that this is very good news that Jesus Christ has died for our sins and provided eternal life and all that comes with that. But somehow that message in this world is still quite dangerous to share. And I think that we wouldn't be struggling over the concept of evangelism if everyone just wanted to accept this good news. But the reality that we see for a couple thousand years is they don't. And again, I'd go back to my previous comment. We don't like to engage in things where people will say no to us. It's just not in human nature. So good news, yes, but positive response, not necessarily.
So I think we disassociate the meaning of good news with evangelism. I think that oftentimes it comes down with someone coming in and telling us what we need to do, trying to make all of us kind of the square peg that's going to fit in the right spot, and that makes people uncomfortable. But it's interesting to look at the origins of the word itself. The first time really we see the word used, at least in the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark, it starts off the beginning of the good news. And it's interesting that word, euangelion, actually was never really a Christian word. Actually, it was a word used in the secular world. In fact, there's an inscription from Priena that dates to about 9 BC, so about 4 or 5 years before the birth of Jesus. And it uses that word euangelion to describe the celebration of the birth of Augustus Caesar, who brought good news to the world because he brought an end to civil war, brought peace and harmony. And for the ancients, that was good news.
Good news, yeah.
But these early Christians take a secular concept and then say, no, no, the real good news is not any earthly ruler who brings an end to wars here, but it's a heavenly ruler who brings it into war throughout all time, who brings healing, life from the dead. And I think there's that shift in that meeting that Christianity is ultimately good news of what God has done for the human race in Jesus Christ. And that gets me excited. I'm excited to talk about what Christ has done for me, but sometimes evangelism is not so much, at least perceived today, as me sharing the good news of what he's done for me, but me somehow bringing my neighbor to a meeting so they can hear from an evangelist who I don't even know. And that's where things, I think, get a little disconnected, perhaps.
Let me try a quote here from J.I. Packer, a well-known Christian author. In his book, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God, I'll just read a couple sentences here. He says, and I'm quoting, "Evangelism is just preaching the gospel, the evangel." Then he continues, and he says, "Evangelizing is not simply a matter of teaching, instructing, and imparting information to the mind. There's more to it than that. Evangelism includes the endeavor to elicit a response to the truth taught. It is communication with a view to conversion. It is a matter not merely of informing, but also of inviting." And this, I think, kind of touches on what you just finished saying, Carl, is that I think good news, the announcement of good news can, I don't know if it happens quickly, but it can gradually become not something that I'm announcing to you. But let me give an example. If you will exercise, or exercise is good for your health, that's a positive kind of message. But then it can kind of rapidly become, you better exercise or you won't have good health. And pretty soon it's, you better exercise like this or you're going to die. it moves from just a sharing of good news. to a message to elicit a response. And it seems to me like it's not just Christians that have done this, but in general, people that have good ideas, there is this tendency to move from sharing something good to begin to, in a variety of ways, not just even inviting, as Packer suggests, but pretty soon invitation can become a kind of a coercion almost, or, mm-hmm. or a pressuring of people. And then it's no surprise that there's a kind of negative reaction to that.
Because it becomes not really genuine. It's because I'm doing something because I want something from you. And I think in our society we've been burned so many times by freebies that come to us that it kind of turns us off, because sometimes we say, oh, here we go. We're trying to sell something. But actually, I think all the time, if there's something that we find that we enjoy, or we find a good deal at the store, well, yeah. I am more than excited to say, hey, did you see that deal at the store? I mean, you got to get this. This is a great opportunity. And somehow that's what evangelism, I think, originally was, two hearts sharing, or one heart sharing to another heart. And that's really has to be what really is the heart of evangelism for it to work.
Yeah,
and C.S. Lewis has this great line, and I think it's from the Screwtape Letters: God cannot ravish, he can only woo. That's W-O-O, woo, that he is not one who forces, who pushes himself, but rather wooing. It almost has this romantic idea of loving, of wooing someone to something beautiful, to the good news. And I think that in evangelism, if we took sort of that example of God, where we did not push and ravish people, but rather we wooed them, we might find ourselves liking the word evangelism.
Absolutely. I want to read a passage from 1 Peter chapter 3, and then I'll have a concluding question. Verse 15, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. There's an appeal here to be prepared to give a good answer, as well as a reference to godly living, your good behavior in Christ. We'll come back to this again in following weeks, but is evangelism mostly about saying the right things, giving the good answers, or is it about the ways in which we live? And it has to be a brief response. What would you say? Saying or living?
Yes.
Yes.
That's a brief response.
That is a brief response, and the best one that could be given. It has to be both, doesn't it?
It does.
If it's only words, or if it's only action, something is missing. Well, thank you, Alex and Carl, for your willingness to share with us today. Thanks also to Chad Ofterhaar, our program engineer. And finally, thank you for listening in. For Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.